Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3,
Philadelphia.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Sherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia.
Free speech lives here.
It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Friday, April 19th. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app and, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning, 855-839-1210, the phone number. On social media at 1210 WPHT, I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Dawn Stenzel with the news, Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board, Bill Almquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. We made it to the end of the week, and it's good to have everybody with us. Dawn, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Gregory.
Yeah, buddy. How are you doing?
Ready to go.
I'm ready to go, too.
Going to do some good radio for 4 hours. Well, Dawn will do it for 6 hours. And then we've got community activity
today. We do. We're going to go clean up a park or something.
Yeah, pick up trash, rip up weeds and mulch. And
we're going to make Philadelphia a little cleaner and greener.
Wasn't that a campaign in like the early 90s?
Probably.
A cleaner and greener America.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we'll do some good work in the community later this afternoon. We got a lot of good stuff to get to today. Whistleblower for January 6th, come on down. That'll be the theme of the big take this morning from one man who is going to blow the lid off of what you have been told about the past. We'll get to that. Also, the Trump jury in New York is set, and we will introduce you to the 12 jurors. We have details on 9 or 10 of them. And we will rattle those off this morning. Also, Joe Biden in Philadelphia yesterday.
Stopping by a Wawa, by the way.
And speaking of Wawa, I hold in my hand.
Oh, for the love of God.
Phil Almquist bought me a $2 cup of Wawa coffee.
Wow, he spared no expense.
It's no longer hot, but I will heat it up a little bit later in the show, and we will do a first-time Wawa taste test.
This is horrendous that we even have to do this.
As a Philadelphian, as somebody that spent most of my life in this region.
You need to hand in your Philadelphian card.
I know. But there is a first for everything in this life.
Oh, man. God.
We also have a Joe Biden cannibal update.
Oh, yes.
It was actually the Cookie Monster.
It was.
That ate Uncle Bozy. We'll give you the details.
Poor Uncle Bozy.
Poor Uncle Bozy.
You know what I was wondering? In Joe Biden's mind, you know in those cartoons, you know like Looney Tunes where with the cannibals and they put Bugs Bunny over the big pot and they rotate him?
Yeah.
Is that what Joe Biden had in his mind?
I think so. I think that's how he recalls Uncle Bozy being devoured.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get to that coming up in the cut sheet today. Also, bad news for Joe in Michigan.
Oonga boonga.
Stop.
I'm sorry. It's just stupid. It's the dumbest.
I love when Greg gets tickled.
I've never heard of it. It was a giant lie. And it's the dumbest lie I've ever heard. He just watched the Looney Tunes cartoon before he went out on stage.
Oh, man.
Uncle Posey. Oh, my goodness. Uncle Posey met the same fate as Bugs.
I was texting with one of my buddies last night about politics,
yeah.
And he hates both sides. He's not really into it, but he goes, is it me or is it a bad look for America when the current president is a guy who claims his family was eaten by cannibals? and the other guy used to host a show on NBC called The Apprentice. I said, yeah, it's pretty much what we have, folks. But, you know. You got to take what you get in this lifetime, I guess. So we'll talk about that. RFK gains ballot access in Michigan. Joy Reid thinks Major League Baseball needs DEI initiatives.
What?
Yes. Major League Baseball needs diversity, equity, and inclusion in a sport that's based on merit. So we'll get to that. Columbia riots, the cut sheet. And also, Jason Kelce has apparently lost his Super Bowl ring.
Well, that was quick.
And we're going to have to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because as a man...
Oh, Jason Kelce. I think it meant Travis Kelce.
Jason Kelce lost his Super Bowl ring from 6 years ago.
Okay.
So we'll get to that. But before we get to all of that, there's a lot out there in the world of news, including what's going on with updates in the Middle East, all of that and more. The great Dawn Stenslin at 6:05.
And good morning this Friday morning. Yes, April 19th, 47 degrees. We'll tell you when the sun will come out this Friday morning. And I'll begin with local news and we'll get to an update on Israel. But a man is under arrest, according to police, for, they say, trying to rape a woman, then kidnap her from the parking lot of a grocery store in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, just outside Philadelphia, obviously. 41-year-old Daniel Pearson of Yardley is now facing more than half a dozen charges, according to law enforcement. This happened 8:30 Tuesday at Redner's store right there in Middletown Township. So the DA's office, authorities saying the victim told police she parked her truck right near the back of that parking lot. She gets out. A guy grabs her from behind. She describes a terrifying situation. She's screaming, fighting, trying to get away from this guy. Couldn't break from the man's grip. Pretty big, strong guy. There's a struggle. The victim says her attacker, identified by the authorities now as Pearson, pulled down her pants, punched her in the face. I mean, this is a terrifying situation. Obviously, the suspect lifted her up and moved toward his truck. She says, you know, and according to authorities, trying to kidnap her, take her away. The victim then continues screaming and gets away, gets loose from him, thank God. And gave the police the description of the vehicle that her attacker got away in. They were able, they say, to track him down to a home in Bristol Township. He's known to police, they say, for his use of methamphetamine, among other things, was arrested last night after he left his home while driving another vehicle. They were able to track him down. He's behind bars on $1 million bail. Shoppers, the community, quite shaken up over this.
$1 million bail, yeah, he won't be posting that anytime soon.
Yeah, it's just, it's a cliche to say, but this is every woman's nightmare. You run late to the grocery store and, oh my goodness.
You said 8:30. Was that 8:30 at night, I'm assuming?
Yeah, this was in the evening.
Okay.
So they were able to track him. So it would have been dark at that point.
Correct.
Obviously. So. Yep. But the community quite thankful, obviously, that they were able to get this guy. There was a meeting last night, and this is horrifying. Parents are outraged. A huge meeting in Pembroke, okay? And this is more than 50 parents gathered after a girl who had warned counselors that she went to the office in the morning at her middle school, Pembroke Middle School. She told her counselors that there was a threat out, that she was going to be attacked at lunchtime. Okay, she's a seventh grader, victimized here, attacked, clubbed in the head with one of those big metal Stanley cups, as they call them.
Yeah, the kids these days, they love these big 30-ounce Stanley jugs.
So there's surveillance image. There are surveillance images of the incident that happened. She had to be rushed to the hospital, stitches, all kinds of staples and stitches in her head, blood everywhere. So this is causing an outrage. Parents packing this meeting, North Penn School District meeting last night, voicing concerns about this attack and the motivation. This happened in the afternoon around 1:20 in the cafeteria, Pembroke Middle School, like I say, in Wales. So Upper Gwynedd police responding. They have the surveillance video, shows a seventh grader walking along a lunch table when another student runs toward her and starts slamming this big metal Stanley Cup in her head.
Yep.
The parents saying to the school district officials, this was avoidable.
Yeah, the father warned that it was going to happen, right?
So the father saying, my daughter went to her counselor twice to the office to say, I'm scared.
Yeah.
That there's this student threatening me. Help me.
Yeah. And for those who don't know what a Stanley is, if you have a Yeti, one of those aluminum coffee mugs, I mean, it's kind of what it is, maybe a little bit bigger. I mean, imagine being smashed in the skull with this. These things are pretty hardcore.
This is what it sounds like on my desk.
Yeah. Now imagine that on your skull.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Upper Gwynedd police described the incident as an unprovoked, sudden, violent attack. There were witnesses to the meeting. One girl, this was all girls. One girl says she was right next to the victim. There was blood all over her. I mean, that's how horrible this was. I heard a local media report and they said, well, the good news is the victim has been released from the hospital. I will tell you, the police say the victim's injuries are quite severe. And she has staples in her head. She's has a concussion.
Wow.
She is suffering
horribly.
Said.
Wow.
I was just going to say that. For all the and we have a video we'll show you coming up later in the show of what happened with a school assault in a bathroom with a handicapped child. It seems to me, just in general, when we hear these stories, they're happening as frequently with females as they are male fights in schools.
Yep.
Yeah. So we don't know the motivation. The school says they can't talk about it because they're all juveniles and so on and so forth. So parents and the community quite upset, obviously, over this one as well.
Mm-hmm.
We also have confirmation now this morning from the White House as far as what happened while you were sleeping. And early this morning, the White House, as well as Israeli officials, confirming this morning that, in fact, missiles were launched in a retaliatory strike against Iran. So this is Israel confirming this, but as well, U.S. officials and senior White House officials confirming this. So flights to Tehran and that region suspended following this reports of an explosion that was heard in the Iranian state media reporting that one. So this is near the Isfahan airport. And by the way, the 8th Shikari base of the Army Air Force in the northwest region of Isfahan. This is Iran.
Yeah.
So the missile launches following Iran's attack, obviously, last Saturday, where the country sent a volley of more than 300 of those drones and missiles toward targets throughout the country. Clearly, this is going back 7 months. We still have 133 Israeli civilian hostages being held. And this as tensions rising. Remember that Monday night is the beginning of Passover.
That's right. I will say it is remarkable just reading the story here and going back to last Saturday. They had 300 uncrewed drones and missiles. That Iron Dome in Israel is just a fabulous defense mechanism. I mean, hardly anything got through from Iran. I mean, there was very, very few casualties and very few successes with over 300, attacks, so to speak. So that's pretty remarkable. I don't know that Iran has necessarily the same level of sophistication as Israel does, but it'd be interesting to see what we get update-wise throughout the day.
I will point out that the Israeli retaliation comes as Iran's Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei marks his 85th birthday. So happy birthday, Supreme Leader.
should we sing happy birthday to him?
April 19th.
Wow.
Happy birthday. You know, so we have that going.
He's coming to help us clean up the park today.
Yeah,
yeah, it's true.
It's just a coincidence that it's on his 85th birthday,
exactly.
My dad. Speaking of 80-something's birthday, Joe Biden in Philadelphia. I know we'll talk about that one, his big visit, and as well, a lot of Kennedys there.
Did you guys see that he, so he ordered an Italian hoagie and he called it a sub?
Yeah, that's a violation.
He touts being from this area all the time. Scranton, yeah. Wilmington, or Delaware, whatever.
Right.
If you're going to be from this area and tout this area, you can't call it a sub, man.
Agreed, but I'm also from this area and I hold in my hand a cup of coffee from Wawa that I've never had in my lifetime. Maybe a poll question. What's the bigger violation? I've never had Wawa coffee or Joe calls a hoagie a sub?
I love it.
Like, I mean, you could. What are all the names? You have hoagies, sub, submarine, grinder. Is there any other names out there for hoagies? I've always just called it a hoagie.
Yeah.
I think most people in this area throughout their life have called it a hoagie. I think grinder is like a New York thing.
No, it's a. Is it a Boston thing?
Is it a Boston thing?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's a hoagie.
It's a hoagie.
So we've got that going on with Joe Biden in town. So much happening. I will also mention as I get to the forecast as well. One more thing. We still don't have Kevin Boyle.
He's still in the lamp.
Where's Kevin? I think of Home Alone. Kevin! Yeah. I just have that in my head.
Kevin's not here.
We don't know where Kevin is. Obviously, police this week releasing information that, in fact, he allegedly violated an order of protection and from his ex-wife. And so they put out an arrest warrant. Now we have in Harrisburg, because we had that slim margin that we talked about, we have Democrats saying, well, should he leave? Should he be? The Republicans say, well, let the upcoming election, because remember, we have a little election coming up Tuesday.
Yep.
And so let the election decide.
Can I throw in a piece of information that I just received for the school assault that you just talked about?
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Mark Fu just sent me a text. He says, what they're not telling people is the kid that beat the girl is transgender. So technically, a boy beat up a girl.
Wow.
That is apparently, according to Mark Fusetti, I have no reason to think that he would be wrong. He's been very accurate with a lot of stuff, privy to a lot of information. I'm assuming that's not in anything publicly. Mm-hmm. And why is that?
Well, I will just say this. I never report things unless I have the official confirmation.
Okay.
But that is something that is, that I've heard.
Okay.
Well, it's.
But I don't have.
I mean, you're being a news person.
Yes.
Nick's being a commentator, so yeah. We're fine.
You have integrity, and I'm a schlub.
But you're not naming an unnamed source.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? And obviously, Mark Fusetti has pretty good sources.
Yep. He does.
So that we can probably take that one.
So if we're wrong, tweet him. Don't bother me.
No, I'd say we can.
I'd throw Mark right under the bus. Excuse me, Sergeant Mark.
I think that.
Who, by the way, said Sheets is better than Wawa.
Yeah, so his credibility.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so disregard everything I just said.
When it comes to food, maybe not so much, but when it comes to police matters, yeah. I'll trust Mark.
Okay.
But I think that's what all the meeting last night, that's why you're seeing this outrage,
mm-hmm.
because the allegation, the underlying situation is that these families are saying that in the name of something that's political, they allowed this girl to be victimized.
Right.
And that if that hadn't been going on, would they have pulled the kid?
Yeah.
So that's inexcusable, and mm-hmm. I have some good lawyers if they want a lawyer.
Yeah.
Let's get to the forecast really quick. We do have our Phillies open our series with Chicago White Sox, 6:40 this evening.
It's a barn burner of a series.
And it should be lovely.
God.
It should be, it's 61 degrees today, mostly cloudy. The sun will peak out. And so it'll be a little chilly, but seasonable for sure this evening. 61 is the high, so we'll warm up. We started out in the mid-40s this morning. Your weekend, I think you're going to love this one, especially Greg Stocker loves his vitamin D with
yes,
the sun.
Yes.
So 68 degrees for your tomorrow, for
nice.
Your Saturday.
Nice.
Don't be discouraged, Greg Stocker. When you wake up early in the morning, you might see some sprinkles.
Okay.
They're going to go away.
Okay.
And then Sunday, 61 degrees with sunny skies. This is Kale & Company News Live, Friday Morning Edition.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:18. Let's get to one last big take of the week.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it is brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group. The Big Take, truth versus narrative pertaining to January 6th. Yesterday on The Big Take, we zeroed in on NPR and their new divisive CEO, Catherine Marr, who claimed everyone can have their own truth. For over 3 years, however, the mainstream media, Democrats, and the establishment have told us there is only one truth about what happened on January 6th, 2021. Donald Trump incited an insurrection. That's what we have been force-fed. And since that day, talking heads on TV and the left have tried to tell us that J6 was the equivalent to, or worse than, 9/11. The reality is, the truth always comes out, sometimes sooner rather than later. And over the last year or so, we've had additional footage from January 6th released to the American public. In total, there's 44,000 hours of surveillance from cameras, and most people with a functional brain have seen what this really was. A mostly peaceful demonstration, certainly with a handful of bad apples that went too far, but the number of people that didn't do anything remotely wrong or illegal that were ultimately agitated by Capitol Police, groups of people not posing a threat that were tear gassed and pepper sprayed, which took a campfire and turned it into a bonfire. And yesterday we received more insight as to what really went down on that day from those who were directly involved at Ground Zero. Timothy Nick is a National Guard captain who testified under oath yesterday and completely obliterates the January 6th narrative that has been put out there from the federal government. Captain Nick accuses the United States government of lying to the American people. Here is part one of the military whistleblower giving his background and setting up the story. Listen and watch the first clip.
I'm here today to aid the subcommittee in resolving factual errors in the official record of what happened on January 6, 2021, specifically regarding the alleged District of Columbia National Guard, the delayed response caused by critical presidentially appointed Senate-confirmed Pentagon senior officials. I was concerned by the events that unfolded that day on the United States Capitol. As a federal officer of the United States Secret Service and a former state trooper with the Florida Highway Patrol, my heart goes out to all law enforcement officers, sisters and brothers that held the line that day to restore public order to the chaos. I'm here today with my counsels, Lachlan McKillen and Dan Meyer of law firm Tully Rigney. The firm has advised me, beginning with my role as a confidential source to the Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol. When my confidentiality was breached, it was Dan who intervened to ensure I was protected as a military whistleblower.
Secret Service, state trooper, super credible. Now keep in mind, at least from my perspective, that these whistleblowers, whether against NPR, Boeing, or the federal government, they have everything to lose and nothing to gain by risking their careers and in sometimes their lives in an attempt to share the truth with the world. So what was Timothy Nick's role? Let's hear part two directly from the source himself. Listen and watch this.
First, I want to explain my role on January 6th. I was assigned as aide-de-camp, the personal assistant to Major General William Walker, the commanding general of D.C. National Guard. It was my only second day on the job. Please focus on alleged facts found in the November 16th, 2021, Department of Defense Inspector General's multidisciplinary review into the D.C. National Guard response and Department of Defense's role that day. I can say unequivocally that the Inspector General's review is riddled with inaccuracies, misstatements, and perhaps false flags and narratives regarding how critical Pentagon senior officials responded when our republic was under great stress. For instance, during a conference call at 2:31 p.m. with members of United States Army, U.S. Capitol Police, Metropolitan Police Department, District of Columbia Government, and U.S. Secret Service.
No way! I thought misinformation, disinformation, misstatements, and false flags were something that only right-wing Trumpers spew. That's remarkable. The reality is, this could have been stopped. But those who wanted Trump out wanted this to escalate and to ultimately erupt. It would be their nail in the coffin for the orange man. And you remember Nancy Pelosi on video saying she was waiting for this day. She's so fired up, she's going to, quote, punch him out. We've played you that clip many times on this show. Here's part three of the lies of the D.C. National Guard. Listen and watch this.
In addition, former Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy claims he was on a 2:31 p.m. call and spoke on that call. This is false, unless he was in the room shadowing the call and he did not speak nor identify himself. He was not on the call. He was en route to Washington, D.C. Regional office at the Federal Bureau of Investigation to support that agency's concept of operations plan for January 6th. He went on to claim that he called and spoke to Major General Walker at least twice, ordering the deployment of the D.C. National Guard. This is also false. At no time did General Walker take any calls, nor did we ever hear from the Secretary on any of the ongoing conference calls or the secure video teleconferencing throughout the day. This I know because I was with the Command General the entire time recording events. Throughout the day, Major General Walker told by staff officers to stand by with respect to deploying to the Capitol Hill. Only at 5:09 p.m. in the early evening, which I wrote down in my wheel book, was the D.C. Guard given order to deploy and move to the Capitol to assist Capitol Police. We arrived too late. One American laid dead with other sisters and brothers injured, including federal and local law enforcement officers. We were ready and standing by. I know if we were able to deploy immediately when General Walker made the request, the National Guard could have helped end civil disturbance and restored public order quickly.
This is the way the swamp has operated since the day Donald Trump put an R in front of his name, came down the escalator, and shook up the political world, defeating Hillary Clinton. They've had a vendetta against him from the jump. And think about how late our government was. And it was late by design. The most advanced, sophisticated nation in the world let their guard down on purpose, driven by a political hatred for a once beloved mainstream media Democrat. Here's the last clip of Timothy Nick. Listen and watch this.
National Guard motto is always ready, always there. The D.C. National Guard was ready to help and assist Capitol Police, but we were not allowed to do our job due to paralyzed decision-making by Acting Secretary of Defense Chris Miller and Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy. This led to federal leadership in the Pentagon. This led to a crisis in federal leadership at the Pentagon and delayed the D.C. response by 3 hours and 19 minutes. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today and articulate the facts as they happened. I look forward to answering any questions you may have.
The more we learn, the more you realize that many who have downplayed January 6th are not liars, apologists, or cult members. They're not conspiracy theorists or domestic terrorists. Sure, there were some who went too far, but an overwhelming majority acted properly, well within their rights guaranteed by the Constitution. Instead of comparing January 6th to 9/11, which is outrageous in its own right, the real comparison should be January 6th, 2021, to the summer of 2020 BLM riots. This is why the mainstream media has been melting down. This is why the government has been trying to silence you. This is why big tech wants to censor you. They don't have a monopoly over the information anymore. And the truth is a threat to the establishment. And Timothy Nick has illustrated that courageously even further. The federal government, as you know, not your friend. Neither is the mainstream media. They want you to go about your life uninformed, uneducated, and regurgitating what they tell you. They love the fact that you were distracted, and they fear people like Timothy Nick, like Donald Trump, like Elon Musk, on and on and on. And some people, if not many, believe the U.S. government killed JFK. Some people, if not many, believe 9/11 could have been prevented. If both are true, is January 6th and the federal government's involvement really out of the realm of possibilities? I think not. The U.S. government allowed the January 6th riots, not insurrection, riots, to happen in order to pin it on one man. And that's Donald Trump. And that's the Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group. Get 0% financing for 60 months or a $2,000 customer bonus on the new 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan. Only during the 75th anniversary sales event, visit Piazza Volkswagen of Ardmore and Langhorne or PiazzaVW.com today. We'll come back, get some thoughts on what we heard there on the Big Take on the other side, as well as we will meet the official jurors for Trump's case coming up in New York, the Alvin Bragg case, and we've got the background of all of these individuals. How favorable is it to the prosecution? Who looks to be Trump-friendly? Who looks, at least on the surface, to be neutral? The details on the other side. It's Kale and Company on a Friday on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
For the first time in 35 years, is that right? Philadelphia 76ers, your Philadelphia 76ers, face the New York Knicks in the playoffs. The Knicks are the favorite right now at -2.5 because they're playing in the quote-unquote Mecca, Madison Square Garden. So it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. All you have to do is place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. It is a great, great app. You can do everything. You can play. You can place money on the first basket to be scored, who that'll be, number of dunks, largest comeback, biggest run by either team, player points, player rebounds, player assists. It's all right there for you on FanDuel. FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg. Sign up right now. Make every moment more with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHT. 21 and over, present in PA. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
By the way, this is for Dickie Betts from the Allman Brothers.
There you
died
go.
Yesterday at the age of 80.
80.
There's only one surviving member of the Allman Brothers, the original Allman Brothers, left.
Okay.
J-Mo, the drummer.
Wow.
Everybody else. Kick the bucket.
Look at you with a little precursor to today in music history.
Well, I just like to, you know.
Yeah. Still in feel, still stealing Phil Almquist's thunder here.
Not really. I mean, this is a, you know.
Tribute song.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
Nice work.
Yeah.
All right. We got a lot of good stuff coming up here on the show. Cut sheet at 7:45 this morning. All sorts of big stories. But yesterday, in much sooner fashion than many people expected, we were thinking and we were hearing reports that this jury selection for the Trump trial in New York was going to take every bit of a month and a half, if not 2 months. Looks like they have wrapped up jury selection in all of 1 week as the 12 jurors have been selected and sworn in to serve on Donald Trump's first and unprecedented criminal trial. By the end of jury selection yesterday, the third day of jury selection, 12 jurors had been selected and sworn in. The jury pool so far includes 4 men and 3 women, and they come from professional backgrounds that include law, finance, technology, and more. Judge Mershon saying, quote, "We have our jury. Let's pick our alternates." And then Mershon dismissed the remaining prospective jurors on Thursday and asked that they return to court on Friday so the alternates could be selected. So that will go down today. But are you guys ready to meet the jurors?
I am.
All right.
Let's do it.
Don Stensland, are you ready?
Come on down.
I feel like Bob Barker back in the day on The Price is Right with that real skinny microphone. It was like, it's like thick as a pen.
Yeah.
So you've got a bunch of like liberal women that are clapping and they're jumping up and down. They're doing the whole bit. They're going to come on down to the stage. So we do have most of these individuals' information. There's two or three where they provided no information based on their juror number. But juror number one and the foreperson.
Come on down.
Yes, thank you very much. Lives in New York City. He has no children and enjoys doing anything outdoorsy.
Mm.
He gets his news from a combination of the New York Times, MSNBC, but also the Daily Mail and Fox News. So I would say that's 2 left and 2 right sources. And when asked by Trump defense attorney Todd Blanche if he was aware that Trump is charged in other cases and jurisdictions and how it affects him, the man said, "I don't have an opinion." Okay, so based on what we know, I would say, and here's what we'll do.
Yeah.
I'll say advantage Trump, advantage prosecution, or neutral, based on what we're providing.
Wait a minute, hang on. Can we, like, it shouldn't be advantage Trump either. It
well,
should just
who's
be
more favorable to the prosecution
or
defense?
No. We're not going to do this whole thing where it's like, well, this is a good juror because they favor Trump. No, it should be who's going to be fair and impartial, right?
Well, apparently all of them said that they can be impartial.
Okay.
But based on the sources that they give as far as where they get their news, you can infer maybe which way they lean. I think that's fair.
Okay.
I would say this is an even. This is no benefit one way or the other. This guy seems like, for whatever he is told during the voir dire process, doesn't seem like he is slanted one way or the other. Juror number two.
Come on down.
Is a man who said he allows former Trump, he follows Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, on X, formerly known as Twitter.
Mm.
He also follows other, quote, right-wing accounts,
yeah,
including former Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway.
Mm.
The reason he said he follows those figures was so he could be plugged into anything that might move the markets I might need to know about. Not really sure what that means. He's talking about stock market. What is he talking about? When asked if he could, if he would unfollow Cohen, as he may be a witness in the trial, the man said absolutely. The man also said he has not seen any evidence relating to the case, and he will, quote, try to keep an open mind. In response to questions from Trump lawyer Suzanne Nechels about his feelings about the former president, the man said that Trump has done some good for the country. Quote, it's ambivalent, he said. It goes both ways. From what I gather here, this seems somebody that would be favorable to Donald Trump. Juror number three.
Come on down.
Is a young to middle-aged man who lives in Manhattan. The man said he grew up in Oregon. He's been an attorney for 5 years practicing corporate law. And the man says he enjoys hiking and running. And he gets his news from the New York Times and Google.
Google?
I say advantage prosecution here.
Just wait, wait, Google?
Google, yeah. Like, he Googles things.
Okay. Google's not a news source. It's a search engine. You dummy.
At least he's searching for some, you know, I mean, unfortunately, maybe. Yeah. It's like looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
I say advantage prosecution, but I'll leave that up to everybody else. Juror number four.
Come on down!
Such a hacky radio bit. Juror 4 is originally from California.
Yeah.
Has lived in New York for 15 years. The man said he has been a security engineer for 25 years. He holds a high school diploma with some college education. The man is married with 3 children. His wife is a teacher. During his spare time, he enjoys being with his children, woodworking, and metalworking.
Mm.
The man says he has served on a jury before, both a grand jury and a jury in a criminal trial. The man says he gets his news from a, quote, smattering of news sources.
Smattering.
And as for social media, he says he doesn't use it. How about that? Greg Stocker loves this guy. They'll go out and get beers together. The guy's not on social media.
Amen.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So that's juror 4. Juror 5.
Come on down!
Is a young native New Yorker who has been a teacher of English language arts for 8 years. The woman was previously a caseworker at a juvenile detention center, has a master's degree in education, says she is, quote, creative at heart and enjoys photography. Yeah. And the woman says she gets her news from Google and TikTok.
Oh God.
Oh, great. We're doomed.
Dismissed.
We're doomed.
Yeah. Challenge for cause, Your Honor. She's psychotic. Get her out. So that's advantage prosecution. So that's juror 5. I'll speed this up just a little bit. Juror 6 is a young woman who lives in Manhattan, describes herself as a New Yorker. She's a software engineer, says she likes to dance. I don't really think that gives much information. I mean, young women typically hate Trump, so you can maybe argue prosecution. Juror number 7 is originally from North Carolina, is an attorney and a civil litigator, is married with 2 children, wife works in risk management. The man says he gets his news from the New York Times, the Washington Post, the New York Post, and the Wall Street Journal. That seems relatively balanced. So that's juror number 7. Juror number 8, we have no information on. Juror number 9 is a woman who lives in Manhattan, originally from New Jersey, works as a speech therapist. She has email subscriptions to CNN and the New York Times.
Email subscriptions?
Yeah, she probably gets like those email alerts.
Yeah.
Hey, Trump farted, tune in to CNN. We're live and local right now. So that's juror number 9. Juror number 10, pretty even based on some of the information. Lives in Manhattan, was born and raised in Ohio, works for a large commerce company, has a college degree, nothing really specific, but does listen to podcasts on behavioral psychology.
Okay.
So this guy might be a deep thinker, yeah. I would say relatively even. And we don't have any info on juror 11 or 12. I would say there are far more, and this is not breaking news by any stretch, people that you would think probably are in favor of the prosecution. But it does seem like we have a few people that you could say is a toss-up, and one or two that maybe the defense really likes. So probably, I think, what we were anticipating from a juror pool that, you know, is probably about 90% Democrat. So
what I want to know is how many do we think are going to be dismissed during this trial? I think the alternates are going to be super, super, super important.
Mm, good point.
Yeah.
I would agree, especially if these Trump lawyers continue doing more digging and it comes across that some of these jurors maybe lied or they didn't share the whole truth or maybe their social media gets scrubbed or details emerge of biases that were not brought up when these individuals were questioned. I don't know how many staff members Trump has working, searching during this process, vetting all of these people. But we've seen, if you recall, you know, 30 years ago in the OJ case, there were multiple people that were dismissed off of the juror as Ito found out that people were tainted and contaminated, so to speak, and couldn't be impartial.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this was a very, very quick process to find jurors. In my opinion, it was,
especially based on what we were told for how long it would take. So there's your details on your Trump hush money jury and the trial that will begin next week as far as I would imagine opening statements and things of that nature. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. It's amazing what people want to talk about sometimes.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to weigh in on our hoagie conversation, so we'll rattle through some of these calls when we come back.
Because Joe Biden went into Wawa yesterday and called it a sub.
That's correct.
I got an email from one of our listeners that said it's, hang on, let me just quote it before we go to break here.
Okay.
Just so, to whet people's appetite before.
Yeah. Love a wet appetite.
In the coal, it's a sub in the coal region.
Ah.
Joe Biden is old coal region.
I don't know
what that means, I guess, because of the Scranton.
Yeah, I guess the Scranton ties. Well, you know, Joe's a part of every region.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, 855-839-1210. We'll get to Joe, his day in Philadelphia, his appearance at Wawa, and your hoagie take calls on the other side. It's Kale and Company. Stay right there.
Hey, do you want a greener, healthier lawn that's also safer for your family and your pets? You want to call my lawn care company today. Natural Lawn of America. I've been a customer for years now. Trust me, you're going to love the results. Natural Lawn has been creating green lawns, lush lawns, quickly, more naturally, and with fewer weeds for more than 35 years now. Their certified specialists actually tailor their treatments to your lawn's specific needs. This environmentally friendly approach reduces the need for chemicals and creates a safer lawn for your family and your pets to enjoy. I'm always talking about, oh, my buddy boy, he's 15 now, and I feel safe when he goes out in the lawn, looks at the deer, says, well, he doesn't even bark at the deer anymore. Natural Lawn, they're locally owned, Pennsylvania, family operated right here in, yes, in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Competitively priced. They have a satisfaction guarantee. I trust the leader in organic-based lawn care. You should, too. Give them a call. Just call them today because the limited time offer does expire at the end of this month. And that offer, free seeding every year. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program and they will seed your lawn every year free of charge. Call 1-800-FREE-SEED, 800-FREE-SEED, or visit naturallawn.com. Learn more. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Tell them Thorne sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Nick Kale, Don Stensel, and Greg Stocker. 855-839-1210. We will get to Joe Biden, his recap of a day from Philadelphia, including also one voter that went off on Joe in Philadelphia. Very similar to the vibe and the theme that we got from Harlem when Trump was there earlier this week at a bodega. So we'll get to that coming up. Also, bad news for Joe on the ballot when it comes to a state that is going to be tough for him, and that is Michigan. RFK Jr. gaining ballot access in a big swing state. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. But a lot of people want to weigh in on our hoagie talk from earlier this morning. Oh, and by the way, also on Twitter, I want to read this real quick. Pat27 on Twitter says, when introducing the Trump jurors, he is getting more of a love connection, Chuck Woolery vibe compared to Price's.
Yeah. We should have bounced that around a little more to see what the appropriate game show music was.
You're right.
I apologize for that.
Take it under advisement.
Yeah, it was kind of off the cuff. Sorry.
All right. Let's grab these calls to wrap up the 6 o'clock hour. Joe is in Berks County, and he's got some thoughts on our hoagie conversation. Joe, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just want to say hi to the team.
Hello.
I enjoy your show every morning as I drive into work.
Thank you.
Woo.
What do you
on
got?
The Hoagies.
Yeah.
The Hoagies got their name from Hog Island, sandwiches that were made for the ship workers there.
That's true.
Oh.
Another name for them is a Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that.
And a grinder is a toasted sandwich that originated in the New England area.
Oh, okay.
I was right.
Yeah, I was thinking grinder more New York or Chicago, but yeah, the New England Boston area for sure.
Isn't grinder an app?
I think it's Tinder.
No, grinder. Yeah. Grinder is too.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah,
I'm out of the app game these days.
Well, you wouldn't know this one. I believe it's a gay app.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah, there's apps for everybody, right? App diversity is what we need in this world.
If there's anything wrong with that.
We got diversity in our app store.
My joke just went right over everybody's head. Holy man.
Lisa is in Pennsylvania. Want to talk hoagies? Lisa, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're doing well. What do you want on your sub today?
I want a fried shrimp po' boy.
Oh,
with only mayonnaise.
Wow.
Okay. And it's got to be blue plate mayonnaise. That's Louisiana's mayonnaise.
Ah, you're not a Duke's Mayo gal?
Nah.
Okay. Nah.
Nah.
Nah. Anything else, Lisa?
No, not really. Wanted to let you guys know about the po' boys.
Thank you. Your order will be up at your number 37.
Making us hungry.
I feel like I'm working at like a... Popeyes or something right now. What am I doing with my life? All right, 855-839-1210. Dawn will have some news to kick off hour two, and then we're going to get to Joe in Philadelphia, also in Michigan with RFK Jr. We've got a ton of great stories today, and also in the 7 o'clock hour, you're going to want to get to YouTube, another one of these awful, horrific beatdowns in a school, and this one involves a bathroom and a handicapped individual. I hope that this person gets the book thrown at them. The sick details on the other side. Cut sheet in less than an hour. We're back after this on a Friday. Kale and Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.